I have 4 pages of notes. Now, you think it's going to be a long sermon, don't you? Well, you're right. But you don't see my notes? Can you read them from there? Yeah. I'll give you a little history. After the conflict, the Great World War, I was talking with Doss out on the lawn in Lake Merritt in downtown Oakland, California. He said, "John, what you got in mind after the conflict?" I said, "Well, Doss, I thought about maybe going back with the Southern Baptist. I'm from Alabama and time with them." And he said, "That'd be great, John." And I also thought about youth work. He said, "You know, John, if you disciple one fella, he could be a pastor and you could be a youth worker and be 2 places at one time." And then we talked further, and I was laying out there on the grass and mission work come up. And I said, "That's what I'd really like to be as a missionary." He said, "Well, that'd be great, John. You know, John, if you disciple 2 fellas, one could be a pastor, one could be a youth worker, you could be a missionary, be 3 places at one time." And then, just as if he thought of it for the first time, he leaned over and reached up on his elbow, and I was laying right there. And he said, "You know what, Johnny? If you never figure out just what you ought to do, you can just spend your whole life raising up disciples and sending them all over the world." Well, I tell my friends I've never figured out what I'm supposed to do. I don't have them all over the world. Roy Robertson does. If he'd have got this little sermon, which I'm sure he got it sometime or another, he's got them all over the world. But I'm a little short in China, a little short in Russia, but there's some in Russia. But South Pacific primarily, and Rim of the Pacific and United States. And it's a thrill to be at this stage in life and get phone calls and letters. I was doing some follow-up on a girl in San Francisco the other day. And was asking one of our old-timers there to follow up. So she called back. She had followed up and so on. And she said, "You know, John and Helen, we don't see you much like we used to, but we'd like to. But you're still our mom and pop. We discipled them over 30 years ago. They got grandkids that's probably married by now." Well, those are the thrilling days. And that's what Doss told me that I could have in 1945. That's going on 61 years ago. Well, I'm a builder by trade. So I agreed to come with Doss, and he invited me down. My first assignment was Long Beach, California, was military men. And then Doss decided to move the office from downtown Los Angeles, the old Willard Hotel building, out to suburb Eagle Rock, up near Pasadena, South Pasadena, out that way. Bought an old warehouse. Wanted me to take 3 or 4 of the NAV fellas and refurbish it, which I did. Then after we got that done, we were having conferences up at Hume Lake, California. That's 70 miles due east of Fresno. And he wanted me to build a lodge up there. So I did. By the way, it was 23% grade, you know, imagine that. So we were building on that lodge, and he come up one day and he said, "Johnny, you're working the man mighty, mighty hard. Send down and get some apple cider and some popcorn and break out the guitars and sing some and have some breaks." And he left, and I thought he was going to Los Angeles, which is 300 miles. But lo and behold, he showed up the next day. And I thought he'd ask, you know, how the plans were coming. Do you think this is strong enough? And you sure that the architect drew it right and so on, so on, so on? But it didn't. He said, "Did you get the popcorn and apple cider?" And I said, "No, Doss, I didn't." He said, John, I told you to get the popcorn outside. And no, I answered back. I shouldn't have answered back. And so that call caused an invitation out on the porch. And he said, John, you're out of balance. I said, Doss, it's 70 miles from here to the nearest store. He looked at me and said, John, I know how far it is. I just drove up that road. He left, and I dispatched somebody to get the apple cider and popcorn. And he was right. See, I was lacking in balance. Luke 2:52. Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Wisdom, intellect, stature, physical. God, spiritual. Man, social. See, Jesus increased in all facets. But I'd hear Dawes preach and hear him emphasize something, and then I'd take that for my whole meal rather than just my salad, you see. And so I did. By the way, we had a fella, Jake, I forget his last name, Marine, huge fella. He spent his life in the Orient as a missionary. But anyway, we did the popcorn and put it on a piece of newspaper on the floor. And Jake would stand up on his hands with his body suspended like that and ease himself down and get the popcorn and eat it while his body was suspended. Now, the rest of the guys tried that, and that was where the fun come. Lacking of balance. About a week later, he came back and he said, John, I want you to take a couple of men and go over and build Peter Funk a fireplace and chimney. Mr. Funk was a businessman in Reedley, California, and he was a board of directors, real godly man. And I didn't answer back, but I thought, snow's going to come. We don't have this house housed in. In the High Sierra, snow can come as late as early as late September or definitely October. But I took a couple of fellas over there and built the chimney, and I'd break off a couple of times a day and come check on the men. It took about a week to build that chimney. We came back, and did you know, fellas, snow didn't come till well into November that year? Everything was quite all right. You see, I missed another one. 13:17 in Hebrews. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Later on that year, that fall actually, I went down to Reedley and was having some time with Pete and his lovely wife Martha, and they wanted me to paper a couple of rooms, which I did. And I was sitting there in the kitchenette having a cup of coffee with Martha. She was a very serious woman, godly woman. She said, you know, John, Peter has given thousands of dollars to the Lord's work. He's given thousands of dollars to the Navigator's work. And you fellas are the only fellas that's ever done anything for Peter. My heart rejoiced. You see, I didn't understand that. I didn't understand what Doss was building. He wasn't just building a lodge. He was building men and recruiting men and recruiting women. It's a lesson. By the way, the topic of this is lessons learned from Doss. Now, Doss Trotman was the founder of the Navigators to some of you younger chaps. He founded the Navigators a few years before that. And I, being a handyman and gifted with my hands and stuff, I became his right-hand man, not spiritually, but practically. And you see, the king's man gets more time with the king than the queen does, because the king's man is saddling the horse and polishing the boots and doing the chores. And the queen has her own entourage. And so I got a lot of time with Doss. And I didn't realize it in those days. I thought I was just doing chores, you see. But I was being trained. As I had the ministry in Long Beach and up in San Francisco as well, I was a single man at the time, I'd catch the train down and have time with Doss. And I'd spend the night. And I'd get up early in the morning and go down and help Lila with breakfast. They had several secretaries living with them and a couple of guys. One morning I came down and she said, "John, would you mind taking some coffee out and pour Doss and Bill some coffee? They're having a man-to-man time out on the patio." I had built Doss a patio out back out of field rock and built him a barbecue pit in the middle. And in those days, you could have a fire in downtown Los Angeles. This was about 49. And I brought the coffee out, and Doss said, "John, pour yourself a cup of coffee and have prayer with us. Bill and I, we're through with our time." He said, "By the way, John," he said, "Bill has disciples, seven or eight fellows and girls, over at Hollywood Press. And he has a burden on his heart to start a work among university people and college people. And we're going to give him man for man and girl for girl for his work to get him started." And so we had a cup of coffee and prayer. And that was the first time I had met Bill Bright, later Dr. Bill Bright. And the campus... Campus Crusade, that it, was started by 7 or 8 navigators and 7 or 8 kids that Bill had discipled. They paired up, and we gave Bill our best fellas and our best girls. You know, men, some of you fellas in leadership, I don't think it ever entered Dawson's mind, this young man would make a good CEO for the Navigators. That's what he'd make. I think I'll try to recruit him for my work. It never entered his mind. His thought was, how can I help Bill? Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That's a verse in the Bible. Looking on the things of others. And some of you fellas who are really underway and really have a grip on God and a grip on ministry, you may be tempted to build your thing. If you do, I guarantee you what's going to happen. And when you get old, you're going to say, "I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry." You're going to try to get somebody to go cry with you. But if you give your soul and help the other guy, God will build you. God will build you. Look not every man on his own things. One of our fellas was recruited several years ago. And he followed the Navigators around Texas and East Coast. And finally came back to the greater area here. And I called him and said, "Hey, I understand you've been have contact with the Navs." And he said, yeah. And he said, "John, I knew you were in town." This was 20 years ago. I wanted to come see you, but I hadn't had time. "John, give me a time. Let me come down and see you." I said, "No, I want to see you." He said, "No, John, let me come see you." I said, "No, I want to see you." He said, "John, it's the same distance. You to me or me to you?" I know it is. But I insist. So I went out to see him and I said, "You got any men?" He said, "No." I said, how's your verses? How's your time with God?" Not what it should be. I said, "Once you get your act together and get your time with God, get on your back verses and check out on some, get you some men and call me." About 3 months, he called me. Went out, met with his men. He had 3. Checked him on his verses, and he'd been going hot ever since. Oh, a year or two later, we were out bird hunting, and we stopped by Denny's for a cup of coffee and some pie, and that's my reward for bird hunting. I said, years ago, you got on the way, and then you had to come back and look after the folks, and you bugged down, and now you're on the way again. What was it that got you on the way? He said, John, you're the only man I've ever met that insisted you help me instead of me help you. It wasn't my spirituality. He said, no. Was my great knowledge of theology? No. Was my great conquest of memorizing scripture? No. I said, well, I won't mention singing. I said, you're telling me because I put you before me, you're now on the way. He says, I'm telling you exactly that. Exactly that, John. That's all there is to it. I says, well, Mike, anybody can do that, can't they? He says, of course they can. Of course they can. You see, of course they can. You may not be able to put a message together like Kirk Humphreys. You may not be able to put a business proposition together like Kirk Humphreys. You may not even be able to be mayor, but you can put the other guy before yourself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Isn't that glorious? See, I learned that. By the way, I'm talking about lessons learned from Doss. Okay? Doss was good friends with Jim Rayburn. Jim Rayburn started Young Life. And Jim said, Doss, I think you're making a mistake developing on the West Coast and putting your offices on the West Coast. I think you ought to go inland. And I won't suggest Colorado. Come over to my ranch. And so we went over to Jim Ranch and had a conference, and we liked the country, and so Doss began to look around for some property, and we located the property. I forgot what the name of it was, but where the academy is now. We had option on to buy that, by the way, and then Glen Eyre came on the market, and we gave up our option. Isn't it wonderful that we didn't buy that and start developing? Eminent Domain would taking it over, and we'd lost all that. So we bought Glen Eyre, and that's where I was sent with the six men to work for Mr. Strake. Mr. Strake was the owner. He's an oil man from Texas, and he sold it to us at a darling price. Even back then, $250,000, and then another $50,000 for the furniture. And so when he decided to sell his property, his men started looking for work. And so they began to get jobs, and so he was left without labor. So Doss said, well, I'll send you some. So he sent John and about six guys. So we worked for Mr. Strake there, milked the cows, and looked after the horses and mowed the lawn and what have you. And we had dirt roads. Mr. Strake liked us, those roads drug about every day or every other day, liked them real smooth, pretty little garden, you know. One day I was cutting weeds by the road, the sloping ditch, and I had a swing, and I was swinging like this and cutting the weeds. And Mr. Strake came by in his Cadillac, and fellas, there was about two dozen straws of grass on the road, about two dozen. And he said, John, you are going to get this grass off this road, aren't you? Yes, sir, Mr. Strake. So he left, and of course I got the grass off the road. I thought it was kind of funny, you know. In Colorado, in July, August, two dozen pieces of grass will wilt in about four, five, 6 hours, you know. But John got it off. Well, I told Doss about that. I thought it was a funny story. We'd have a laugh. But He didn't laugh. He said, John, that's great. That's going to be our standard. Where's my drinking stuff? I'm still on the bottle, see? Don't you feel thirsty when I do that? We, a couple of months later, we transacted the business and bought the place, and we had Jardine Plumbing Company come out and look after the, check the plumbing in the castle. The castle's got 17 bathrooms. By the way, it had been sitting there all those years and only three of the bathrooms leaked. Well, they located a man in his 70s, a plumber, an old plumber, retired plumber. But he was an apprentice back in 04, 03, 02 when they completed the castle. And he and I were chatting out in the foyer there. And he told me that he worked on there all the way through the job. And he said, I stayed on here several months after the building was completed. And he said, you know, one of my jobs was, and he laughed, and he said, I had a screwdriver. And he says, in those days, the plumbers used leather washers on spigots. And so one of my jobs was going around in the bathrooms, and the word on the hot left hand is hot and cold, H-O-T and C-O-L-D. And as you would turn the water off, it would wear down the washer a little bit. And so the word H-O-T and the word C-O-L-D would be at angles to the backsplash. And my job was to take my screwdriver and take the little cap off and adjust it and go around the bathroom every couple of days and adjust all the spigots so that the words would read parallel to the backsplash. And we had a good laugh. We thought that was something, you know. Well, I told Archie Doss. And he didn't laugh. He said, Johnny, that's going to be our standard. You know, Colossians 3:23-24, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. During those days, we were putting in manholes and septic tanks and drain fields and what have you. General Palmer had all of his services underground. He had his electric, his wires underground. And so we were working, and Doss come by one day, and he said, John, everything's all dug up. It just stays dug up. He went on, and I thought to myself, how can you put in a manhole without digging it up? How can you put in a septic tank and drain field without digging it up? That really wasn't what he said. That's what he said, but what he meant was, John, you never cover things up, and you never get it fixed. You just leave it dug up. So I went on down where fellows were working in the manhole, and I told them my problem. One of the farm boys spoke up and said, John, get us some rye. Rye? Rye what? Well, you know, oats, beans, wheat, rye, you know, seed, rye. Oh, grain, yeah. Get some seed. I said, what are you going to do? He said, just as soon as we get through with the place, we will scatter the seed, take a finger rake and rake it in. He says, a week and a half, we'll have some green. Fellas, I took care of it. Job 29:16. I was a father unto the poor, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out. You see, problems come up. Well, it's not my fault. it's the government's fault, didn't get my check. Or it's the boss's fault, or boy, those lumbermen, they just don't deliver things, or boy, these computer guys are. See? One time, I was on a job, and I made this mistake. I said, Doss, I didn't know. He said, John, has it closed the library? I didn't know. John, there's so much you don't know. You know? I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out. And fellows, that has been such a blessing to me. Lessons learned from Doss. My eyes are bad. I don't read anymore. Well, I can't read. Boo-hoo-hoo. Can't read. So what do? I get a couple of guys to read to me. We have a good time fellowship together. They have the swing shift, and they come over in the morning, and man, we just have a ball. You know? What do you do about your Bible? I got a CD. I got a King James CD. How about that? So I get more Bible reading than I used to when I could read. How do you like that? When my wife puts my breakfast on a tray, and I sit in, and I plug it in, and I get 10, 15 chapters. In the olden days, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, see? I was a father unto the poor, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out. I made it my business to find out what in the world is going on, you see? We were down in New Zealand as missionaries. And they come, they're godly fellows we're working with, but they come from a socialist background. And so they said, we don't want you foreigners raising money down here. We want you to raise your money back home. Well, I come from back home, and Skip Gray helped me get over and raise money and all such as that. But I was working with young people and working with college kids and servicemen. And lo and behold, when I got over there, they started getting married and things like that. Well, they don't have two become one, and they just have one going to the missionary. So our money been going down, down, down. Well, what are you going to do? Go home and raise money. Go home and raise money. If I had that kind of money, I wouldn't need to go home. You see? Another thing Doss taught me is, John, don't take yourself too seriously. So I tried to learn that one. So I was down in New Zealand. Well, don't take it too seriously. Okay, don't take it too seriously. So Helen and I prayed about it. Farmer, we were discipling, come in for Bible study and man-to-man time, and he and his wife, and they said, John, Helen, we'd like to support you. And we said, well, Roland, we're not allowed to raise money down here. He said, what verse is that? I said, well, I don't actually have a verse on that. Well, he shook his head. Next week he come, he said, you folks eat beef? I said, yeah, we eat beef. You got a freezer? Yeah, we got a freezer. Next time he come, he brought a half a cow. He supported us in beef for 7 years. You see? The cause which I knew not, I searched out. Isn't that fantastic? You know? There's a solution out there. About 1982, the Navigators decided to reorganize again. And so I was state director up in Oklahoma, Arkansas way in. And so they reorganized. And so I was left out of the organization. I've been on the board of directors for 15 years and country leader and, you know, all that kind of good stuff. And here I was left out. I went up to see Gene Warr, told him my story. I should have known, but he had such a sweet voice. mm-hmm. listening. Huh? As I told my story, you know. John, does that to really bother your ministry, your personal ministry? I said, no, he no gets does really. Does that affect you at all as far as your personal, you know? No, I don't guess it does, really. John, if they folded their tents and went home, would it affect you at all? I said, well, I need some place to receive my money. Oh, he said, we could get some church to do that, or we could set up something. Is there anything else? I said, no, I don't guess this thing. And then he looked up and leaned over his desk and roared about three times as fast as about, John, get on with what God has told you to do. So I tucked my tail between my legs and went home. And my wife was working there at the sink, looking out the window. And so I come in, she said, hi, Dad. And I said, hi, sweetheart. And so I just leaned up against the counter back over there talking to her. Her back was to me. So I told her my story with Gene and told him what he said in tone of voice. And she said, well, she didn't look around. He probably got something, really. Well, you know, I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out. Did you know that that decision was the beginning of Key Men's Conference? I was freed up. I could do something that I wanted to do. Did you know I no longer had to make formation? I no longer had to send in reports. I no longer had to get together with a committee. You see? And God has blessed in these last 24 years, greater than any 24 years of my life. You see? I thought I had to be tied into the organization. Now, I'm still on staff, you know, but I don't run the show like I used to, see? You know, I'm telling you that for a reason now, fellas, because I know human nature because I know me, you see? And sometimes because you didn't get called to this church or sometimes because you didn't get this job or sometimes you might think, well, I guess there's sin in my life. Well, there probably is, but not because of that. See? Isn't it great that those people over at the galley, boy, they're sure sweet. You know, they agreed to put lunch off to 1:30, you know? Perhaps the greatest thing I learned from Doss was for my life to be dependent upon the Word. I based my life on the Scriptures. My decision would be made in the light of the Scriptures. You know, we try to teach here. We use the Word of God to lead a man to Christ. We use the Word of God to build up a babe in Christ, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. And we use the Word of God to help a person grow. And I learned that my decision should be made based on the Bible. And I learned to base all of my decisions on the Bible. Sometimes I don't know the verse, sometimes I don't know the passage, so I have to go to some of my elders. That's a theological word, isn't it? Not age word, you know. For help. I would encourage you to do that. I was a single man for a number of years. In fact, I was 34 years old. I was 30 years old before I really felt I was ready to get married. Then I started praying hard and prayed hard for the next 4 years. Nothing happened. And I've told this story to many of you, how I was 34 and over in the pasture there praying, and God laid Helen on my heart. I'd never dated her. And I had no idea, but there she was, a picture in my mind. I thought, well, I better talk to Doss about it. And so he was away at the time. He was ill, recuperating in California. This was all in Colorado. And then I got better acquainted with her as we would talk around the castle there and around the property. I was getting more and more attached, so one night I proposed to her. I walked her home, and I told her, I said, Helen, I love you, and I want you to be my wife. But this is a strange proposal, because this proposal has proposition to it. And the proposition is that when we tell Doss and Lila, that he will get really excited. Not he'll just say okay, but he'll get excited. But when I told him, the old man grabbed me and started crying and said, this is the greatest thing I've ever heard. Well, that was over 50 years ago. You know what that little girl has been doing for the last hour? She's been praying. She's been praying while we've been up here. I appreciate you guys. I appreciate your compliments. I appreciate you saying, boy, John, good job. I appreciate all that. You know, we enjoy that. I do enjoy it. But the reason I'm up here is she's down there. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for these men. Oh, God, I commit them to you. I pray, God, that you will take every one of these fellows, Lord, no one left behind, and make them into your perfect servant. Lord, you will fill them with your spirit. And I thank you for these dear folks who run this place. Lord, give them your grace. And Father, this morning we want to pray for our fellows and girls on the front line in the battlefield. Oh God, we don't want to forget them. Oh God, they're there, and so we can be here. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you, man.